The belief that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, is central to Islam, meaning he is the final prophet. This idea raises important questions about what does this term, seal of prophet, mean for humanity. This show looks at key questions about the finality of prophethood, its purpose, and its relevance to today's life. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, of course, and here we are in the Viewpoint Studio from IRIB English Radio. This is Sayyid Ali, the host, and I'm honored to have on the right side of the studio here, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And dear brother Ali, good to have you here, dear brother.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Great to have you here, both of you. So let's cut to the chase and start having this discussion about of this concept, because we are getting closer to the Eid al-Mab'ath. And I guess this is appropriate to talk about a little bit about the prophethood and the prophet itself as well. So I'm going to start with dear brother Ali. Does the seal, this concept, the seal of prophets and prophethood, mean no more prophets will come ever, or could it mean something else? Like the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, was the best among the prophets. So what do you think?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Definitely one of the necessary elements and factors of the belief, or as a Muslim, as a believer, is to believe in the khatamiyyah and finality of the Holy Prophet. But there is no doubt among the different denominations in Islam world, there is no doubt in it that the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the end and the final prophet ever. But unfortunately, in some newly emerged sects and denominations inside the Islam world, because this, I mean, there is no doubt, as I said, in the majority of the Islamic Ummah, that the Holy Prophet is the final prophet and the ending of the Rusul and Anbiya. But in some newly emerged sects or denominations, they just started to claim that, okay, there is another version of this Islamic literature that, okay, he's not the end of all the final prophet. As I said earlier, it's a part of the belief of Muslims generally that the Holy Prophet of Islam is the end of the prophets. That is, there is no more prophet out there after him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed his religion with Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no more prophet will come after him. So in the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to humanity, to mankind, there are differences in their missions. Some of them are called ulul azm, that is, they have their own school and their own book, but some others are the preachers of these ulul azm prophets. So the Holy Prophet of Islam is the ending of the prophets of ulul azm, and there is no more prophet, and no prophet will come ever till the end of this world. But does it mean that there is no one to preach this religion? Definitely, there are some preachers of these religions, like the Anbiya of other religions, previous religions. But they are not Nabi, they are Imams. They are going to preach the Islam and Islamic beliefs within the religious authorities, either in the format of Imams, who are the successors of the Holy Prophet, or the Islamic scholars, or those who know religion and study religion well.
Thank you so much, dear brother Muhammad. What verses of Quran or holy scriptures that you have in your mind, or sayings or narrations that can prove the Prophet Muhammad was the last prophet, that you can bring us here today?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bihi nasta'in, wa huwa khayr nasirin wa mu'in. See, with regards to the Khatam al-Nabiyyin, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family being the final and the last of all the prophets, the main verse that comes out is the verse that has the same word in it, Khatam al-Nabiyyin. Now, the issue here is that the translation on the interpretation of this Khatam al-Nabiyyin has been, as Brother Ali mentioned, has been adulterated by some of the new cults, I would rather say, some of the new invented and emerged, not even religion, because in when it comes to religion, there are a lot of criterias one must pass to be a religion, an ideology must reach to be in religion. But this, but these new ones, they don't have that. They're basically some form of a social movement rather than a complete religion, you can call them.
Yeah.
Now, this Khatam al-Nabiyyin itself, the translation, you have to put this, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, you have to put this next to the riwayat and the other historical context that we have to understand the complete meaning of this.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when the Prophet tells Imam Ali, O Ali, you are to me like Aaron is to Moses,
yeah.
Harun is to Musa, except for that there is no prophet after me,
yeah.
and you are a successor. You
sure.
put this next to Khatam al-Nabiyyin and many other verses and the ayat and the hadith to understand this Khatam al-Nabiyyin. Khatam al-Nabiyyin itself, Khatam, the word Khatam, the literal meaning is the ring
yeah.
that in old times they used to stamp letters and identify that this letter belongs to whom.
Yeah.
Because every person, especially great personalities, they would have a specific engraving in the stone of their ring,
carved on the stones
that can be used to seal their letters and to acknowledge and verify that this letter is indeed from that individual. Right now, this is why it's called khatam, because at the end of the letter, it's khatam, finishes it, it seals that letter, and there is nothing to be added, subtracted, amended to that letter, and that's it. Right, that's why we call it khatam. Now, people, because of this, some of the, like we mentioned, the new emerging set of movements, they say, okay, this is because khatam meaning ring meaning the beauty of the prophets. No, that's not the case. The reason why the ring itself is named khatam is because it is used to seal and finish the letter. If it was otherwise, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used any other word that can, because Arabic literature has many words for the word ring itself.
True.
It's not as distinct or very binary like English, where ring only has one letter, one word, which is ring. Right? Ring can have many words in Arabic language. Allah could have used any other word, but the khatam itself has been used to imply the meaning that this is to seal, and this is the final and the last of the prophets.
Thank you so much. Dear Brother Ali, how can we respond to this idea that sometimes we see the followers of other religions that mention that their religion, their messenger was the final one? Right, so they made the sort of claim that we, as Muslim, we truly, of course, claim that. So how can we respond to those, you know, followers that they say, no, you say you want to brag about your prophet? No, it's not going to work in my world. My prophet was the last one.
Yeah. All the religions, if you want to look at all the Abrahamic religions, all of them, they were after a movement in the world towards perfection. If we see from the time of Adam alayhi salam, and then Noah, Nuh alayhi salam, till the time of the Holy Prophet, we see this kind of perfection that happens in the religions, because you know, mankind was not actually that mature to receive the complete message at the very beginning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this planning in this way, that all of the prophets slowly and gradually reached to the end of them. But we believe that all the previous prophets were giving the glad tidings of upcoming prophet that who is going to come. And it's good to know that all of the previous prophets have been awaiting for the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have this literature in our religious traditions and narrations, and there is no doubt in it. But for some, to claim that their own prophet was the last is just to stay in act with the beliefs that they have just gathered for themselves.
Sure.
I mean, I want to say that this cannot be, when we see the literature that we have even from the earlier prophets, that they have been giving this good news that the next prophet, who is Ahmad, I mean, as the Holy Quran says, that they know the prophet as they know the children. كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. That is, as they recognize and understand and know their own children and family members, how come they want to actually, they want to avoid accepting this prophecy? This is due to, I mean, personal, let's say, whims and personal and worldly desires, that they, it stops them from accepting the truth, because mm-hmm. accepting the truth is not that easy. I mean, so we believe that based on what we have received, this kind of statement that we are offering, that we believe that our prophet is the last, we are talking based on the Quranic evidences and the rich traditions and narrations that we have at hand. Mm-hmm. And even logically speaking and rationally speaking, it goes without saying that this perfection, it can be seen and sensed and felt in the Islamic beliefs that we have in comparison to earlier
okay.
ones.
Okay. Dear Brother Muhammad, does this verse of Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولكل أمة أجل فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون, which means for every nation there is a term. When their term comes, they cannot delay it by an hour, nor can they advance it, which is from Surah Al-A'raf, chapter A'raf, verse 34. I think you know it better than me. Does this verse suggest that Islam itself might have an end point?
To understand this verse, we need to look at what the meaning ummat means. It's uh-huh. very important that we dissect the word ummah in a very constructive manner, in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended in the Quran. Now, if you look at ummah, it can have multiple meanings, and it doesn't necessarily refer to a religion.
Uh-huh.
It can, but it doesn't necessarily here refer to a religion.
Because it has been used like ummatul Islam and ummatul
Islam, ummatul. But then you also have many other nations that are not necessarily tied to a religion, but because they're a set of people, uh-huh. a set of people who have come together and as a community, as having common grounds, uh-huh. but may not necessarily have the same religion, but they're still considered as ummah.
Sure.
Right? And so therefore, yes, this verse ultimately refers to the concept of fana, the uh-huh. concept of everything having an end in this world.
Yeah.
So every ummah, every nation, even Muslims, we will face an end, which is the Day of Judgment. Whether it be Christians, whether it be Jews, whether it be Muslims, that's the ultimate end.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, you can also comprehend this verse to understand that ummat, nations, can be different nations at different times and different eras. For uh-huh. example, the Ottoman Empire
yeah.
was also a Muslim empire, was an empire at least that claimed to disseminate Islamic teachings,
yeah, somehow.
But then it eventually had an end.
Yeah.
And this end, also in other verses of the Noble Quran that talks about the ending of nations, talks about the reasons of the ending of nations as well. When a nation falls into fulfilling the whims and wishes of the nafs, the desires, the material desires, that is the beginning of the end of that nation. And slowly when it reaches to the peak, when the desires reaches to the peak, remember, these desires are never ending. You get one, you want two. You get two, you want three. You get three, you want four, and mm-hmm. so on and so on. The peak of it is the destruction of that entire nation. Not only the person, one individual, can be destroyed with his or her whims and wishes, but an entire community, when they fall into this trap of shaitan, of being materialistic, they also have the end. Now, this ummah is not necessarily talking about the ending of Prophet Muhammad and starting of a new prophet.
Yeah.
No. And also, you need to understand that Islam, as we see it, this Islam that we have to comprehend it in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended,
uh-huh.
right? Islam, inna dina inda Allah al-Islam, al-Islam huwa al-Taslim. The only accepted religion in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Islam. And what is Islam? Islam huwa al-Taslim.
Yeah.
Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Prophet Adam until Prophet Muhammad and onwards until now, it's only Islam. There is no other true religion.
Uh-huh.
Prophet Adam brought with the same Islam, maybe with different Sharia.
So it's just get completed by other.
It's times. Like the Brother Ali mentioned. It's in the process of completion until it reaches the Noble Prophet. When the Noble Prophet brought Islam, completed the Sharia in the final few verses of the Noble Quran have clearly mentioned Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Dinukum, that we have completed the Deen for you. The religion is now complete as it is, and it will be there, and it will be as it is until the Day of Judgment.
Inshallah. Thank you so much. Before we getting more into these linguist, beautiful linguist discussions, I have to put an end and khatm to this discussion, I guess. So I hope you like it, dear audiences. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan ana laha, ana laha.